Well, I'm glad everybody's here. It's going to be a great Sunday. It's been fun already. It's beautiful outside, and I'm excited. My message, we'll see how it comes out. I just want to share what God gave me, and it's almost like the more that I study, the longer I've been a pastor, it's like the harder it gets to do a message, but easier at the same time. I know exactly what God called me to speak earlier this week, and yet somehow it just doesn't seem to come together. And it's been like, this is like week four of that. And I'm like, God, really, what's going on here? So we'll see how it comes out. I just want to share from my heart and really the vision of what God's called us to. You know, when my wife and I, in the end of 2006, were praying with my pastor, like about planning a church, the verse that he gave us was Isaiah 58:12. And I'm just going to read it. It says, "Those from among you will rebuild the ancient ruins." By the way, I'm really good at scripture memory. For some reason, I cannot memorize this scripture for the life of me. I can quote whole passages and chapters. I can't. I think it's God and his comedy makes me read it every time. "Those from among you." Can you put that up there? It's the NASB version. Can we put that in the back? I meant to do it. That's my bad. "Those from among you will rebuild the ancient." This is the verse he gave us. But the verse isn't for me, it's for us. So, like, he gave me as the pastor, as, you know, before we even planted the church, "Those from among you will rebuild the ancient ruins. You'll raise up the old foundations, and you will be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets in which to dwell." Us, you, all of us. So, those from among you. So this body, this house, this is the verse that God gave us in planning this church. You'll rebuild the ancient ruins. In other words, people's lives who have been fallen down, people who look at the rubble of what has become what they are and they hate it, God's called us to be the ones who partner with them and rebuild the ancient ruins. We're the ones. God uses us to raise up the age-old foundations, because some people's foundation has been ripped up or it's never been laid properly. You'll raise up the age-old foundations. It's like old school. Y'all know you buy a house that's 120 years old, it's probably a lot better built than one that's 20 years old. Am I right? The age-old foundations, and you, not me. This isn't about me. I'm standing up here on an elevated platform, but can I tell you, this is my reward. The reward that we all get when nobody sees what we're doing and we're not the focal person. I'll be honest, I don't even like being the focal person. But I know this, that when you rebuild, when you raise up people, you'll be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets in which to dwell. That's what we're called to, not me, us. God gave me two words last year. One was for the church and one was for me personally. I don't know which is which. I know that sounds crazy, and it kind of is, but it's maybe a little bit of both. He gave me the word provision, which we desperately needed for a lot of reasons, medically, financially, just a lot of reasons. And God miraculously showed up in provision, and I'm exceedingly grateful for that. And then he gave me the word prepare. And I can't help but think it's for the season that we're walking into. God provides for us if we trust him, and we prepare a place for him in our heart and our life. But the words that God gave me, two words for this year. The first one is connect. We're called to connect to him and to connect to each other. And the second word that he gave me was power. I don't know what that means. That's a little kind of scary, you know what I'm saying? Like, because when the power of God shows up, some crazy stuff happens in a good way, though. And it's always the way that broken things are rebuilt, new foundations are laid, reparations are made, repair, something, and there's restoration. So God's calling us to connect so that I really believe he can show up in power. And I want that. And so I'm challenging and I'm asking everybody here, starting tomorrow, together, let's do a 21-day fast, a food fast. Now listen, you don't have to do no food for 21 days, but I'm asking you to set aside maybe a meal. Maybe it's, I had somebody said, "I'm not eating any bread," and they love bread. I'm like, that ought to be interesting. I know what God's called me to do, and I'm excited about it and dreading it at the same time because I love food. But when you eat, you know what it is, really. Let's just be honest. It's not bad necessarily, though. Let me tell you, you put me in front of like a Mexican buffet, it can be bad. Because at the end of the day, when we eat physical food, this is what we do. It's not bad, but it can be. We feed our flesh. That's not bad because my flesh is hungry and I like food and I want to eat and we all need to eat. Is that true? Yes. But if we're honest, we're probably guilty of feeding our flesh much more than we feed our spirit. Yes. And my heart for us in this fast is that together we feed our spirit. And so I've got three things that I'm going to ask us to pray for the next 21 days, and it's already up on our app. So if you don't have our app, can we put that up there? That you can download our app, text app to 337-513-4742. Where did we even get that number? How does one even do this? I'm technologically not so smart. But like, I hope that's not somebody's number that we accidentally misprinted. They're going to get like 500. Why are 500 people texting me the word app? Anyway, text app, download the app if you don't have it. And on that is our fasting guide. And not only does it have what we're going to be praying for every single day for the next 21 days, but it also has like resources. You can click on the resource tab and it shows you, like it gives you articles on like, why are we fasting? What is fasting about? How can I practically do that? What types of fast are there? Because I'm not gonna spend my time doing that now because you guys can look that up. And if you have any questions, you're welcome to contact us through the app, through through our website or through Facebook, and we'll answer those. I'm also going to be doing devotional videos every day. I'll probably just do selfie videos on like Instagram or Facebook. And if y'all know me at all, I don't like social media. I'm not allowed to say that I hate social media. Where's Lane? I'm not allowed to say that I hate social media. Is that okay? I can just say it makes me very uncomfortable. But I'm going to put myself out there. Here's why. Because I want us all to grow together. And I want us to connect together, first with God, then with each other. So here's what we're praying for. You ready? The three big things. The first one is connection, our 2020 fasting overview. Connection. And here are each day that we're praying for the first 7 days. We're praying connection. Can we put the next tile up? Praying that we are connected to God, we're connected to people, that's day two, we're connected to purpose, we're connected to power, provision, love, and joy. Then that's connection, that's the first week. We're praying together, God, connect us with you and with each other for all of these things. And then we're gonna be praying, the next thing is for clarity, that God gives us clarity so that we can see from his perspective, not ours, we can see clarity in seven areas. Y'all ready? Here they are. Our past, our present, our future, and that we have clarity about who we are and our identity, that we have clarity in understanding what God's calling us to and who he is, understanding like clarity that we can see clearly wisdom. Wisdom is simply this, the right thing to do, and then clarity for the strength that we need to do and be what God's called us to do and be. And then the last thing is freedom. And we're going to be praying over this individually and corporately, all of these. And I'll be talking about this every day for the next 21 days. You can find that on Instagram or Facebook. Freedom. And so here's what we're praying with freedom. Freedom from sin, fear, doubt, curses, oppression, people pleasing. That was an odd one out, but I really felt like the Lord said, put that in. Sickness and death. And so we're just going to pray that we can walk in freedom from all of those things. And my heart is for us to be connected to God, to each other, to our community. Amen. You know, the vision, like what's he called us to? Rebuild the ancient ruins, raise up the age-old foundations, the repair of the breach, the restore of the streets in which to dwell. You've been here long enough, you've heard me say, God's called us to be a regional church and that we will plant campuses through this area. And I've been gung-ho about that, and now I am waiting for the Lord. Every year we've grown. And I just prayed and felt like the Lord gave me the liberty and freedom to just go, okay, until we get an invitation and a place to meet, we're not planting a campus. But I can tell you this, we're preparing for it. Financially, we're preparing for it with leaders and people who are serving. I want you to grow. I want you to grow in your walk with God. We're revamping our growth track, not just when we do it, but how we do it and what it entails, because I want you to know God. I want you to walk in freedom. I want you to know your purpose, and I want you to step outside of yourself and make a difference in the world around you. listen to me, like the little things are so big. I text somebody this week because they were just came to my mind, and I felt like you know, it was the Lord. I said like a quick prayer for them, like, man, I just pray that you're with this person. And I just really felt like the Lord just said, text them. And so I text them, and they were literally at a crossroads in their life. Listen to me, I'm not that good. I'm not that in tune with God. Like, that is the Holy, God speaks to us. And listen, when we hear his voice and we listen, big things happen. So today's message is 2020. It's January 5th, 2020. 2020 vision is what I pray for you, that we have clarity. I know that's hokey. Like, everybody's probably doing like 2020, the year, we're going to perfect vision. I get it. It's kind of hokey, but I want you to have clarity. And so Monday, when I was praying about this weekend, God gave me a passage of scripture, and I know my strengths. I'm a teacher. So I want to teach you today out of 2 Kings chapter 6. Are y'all ready for it? I don't have a title for this message. Let's put it 2020 Vision Sunday. But it's what I want us to see. By the way, and I'm not going to go there, but like I shared Isaiah 58. Y'all need to read like Isaiah 56 and 57, because it talks about God's talking about the fast that he wants and what he wants out of it. And just so you know, God's fasts are never for your will to be done, but for his. And they're never just for you being a better person. They're for his kingdom coming. Even when Jesus prayed, it was always about the kingdom coming. So just so you know, and I marked it in my other Bible, so I actually can't even read it because I'd have to find it in here. I'm not going to do it. We're going to turn to 2 Kings chapter 6. I want you to see clearly, but we got a lot of scripture to read, and I'm going to get you out of here on time, all right? Okay. So I'm going to start reading. It's probably going to be up on the screen. I don't know how fast y'all gonna be back there, but y'all gonna have to be Johnny on the spot with the ammo, okay? Let's go. 2 Kings chapter 6. I'm gonna give you a little bit of background. Elisha is a prophet that is spoken to on behalf of God to the nation of Israel. And the nation of Israel is at war with Aram, a neighbor just to the west, to the east, excuse me. And this is where we pick up the story. Aram, the king of Aram, has been attacking Israel, but God's speaking through his prophet. Chapter 6, verse 8. We're going to read verses 8 through 23, but maybe not all at one time, because it's faster than me telling you the story. When the king of Aram was at war with Israel, he would confer with his officers and say, "We will mobilize our forces at such and such a place." But immediately, Elisha, the man of God, would warn the king of Israel, "Don't go near that place, for the Arameans are planning to mobilize their troops there." So God was speaking to Elisha about the plans that the enemy king was making. And Elisha was telling the king of Israel, "Hey, don't go there. There's a trap for you." Y'all got it? Did y'all get it?
Yes.
Well, that was really good. Thank you. Whew. They're like, keep reading. Okay. So the king of Israel would send word to the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he would be on alert there. The king of Aram became very upset over this, and he called his officers together and demanded, "Which one of you is the traitor?" Oh, that's a pretty good bad king voice, isn't it? "Which one of you is the traitor?" Because, like, every time they set a trap, like, it's like the Israelis know. "Who's been informing the king of my plans?" "It's not us, my lord the king," one of the officers replied. "Elisha, the prophet in Israel, tells the king of Israel even the words you speak in the privacy of your bedroom." That's a little awkward. "Go and find out where he is," the king commanded. Do y'all want me to use the king voice? I can do it, okay. "Go find out where he is," the king commanded. Yeah, I know I have this latent desire to be a voice actor. "Go and find out where he is," the king commanded, "so I can send troops and seize him." And the report came back, "Elisha is at Dothan." So one night, the king of Aram, it's a city, sent a great army with many chariots and horses to surround the city. So God's been speaking to Elisha about what's going on with the enemy king, the king of Aram. Elisha's been relaying that to the king of Israel. And he's telling him, "Hey, don't go there, because they're setting up a trap for you." Well, King of Aram's real upset. And so he finds out where Elisha's at, and he surrounds the city. Look at verse 15. "When the servant of the man of God," so now the army of Aram has surrounded this little small town called Dothan. Dothan, where Elisha is. When the servant of the man of God got up early the next morning and went outside, there were troops, horses, and chariots everywhere. "Oh, sir, what will we do now?" the young man said to Elisha. An interesting, interesting question, isn't it? Elisha has such clarity that God is able to whisper to him, "This is what the enemy's going to be doing," so that they're prepared. They don't walk into a trap. Most of the time, I've not been Elisha. You know who I've been? I've been the servant. And the enemy shows up and you're like, "Oh man, what do we do now?" I just get this servant, like he's with the man of God who's, you know, they wake up in the morning and the whole city's surrounded. Now they had walled cities back in the day, so they're probably standing up on the edge of the wall looking out and they see an entire army camped all around it. And the servant starts to freak out. He's like, "What do we do now? Oh my gosh, there's a whole army. Like they're gonna kill us. They're here for you." In verse 16 is Elisha's response. It's epic. Let's look at verse 16. "Don't be afraid, for there's more on our side than theirs." Don't be afraid. I want you to have clarity in God's vision for your life this coming year. Here's how you see things clearly. Here's the first thing. You ready? Can you guess what it is? Can you guess what it is? Don't give in to fear. Don't give in to fear. Stop giving in to fear. The opposite of faith is not unbelief. The opposite of faith is fear. And when you are in the place of fear, it is impossible for you to clearly see what God has for you, because everything in your life is filtered through that one thing or that series of things that you never want to happen. Don't give in to fear. Now, I'm just going to say it's a choice. It's a choice. Now, there's some fear that you should give in to. Like your car die over the railroad tracks, 2 a.m, all of a sudden you see headlights and it's not from another car, it's coming down the tracks. That should like scare you. That's a godly fear that removes you from harm. Maybe not your vehicle. Hopefully you have insurance. It's the law in the state of Louisiana, but there's an ungodly fear that keeps us paralyzed. And the freight train of the enemy just wants to plow you over. Don't you give in to fear that paralyzes from the pit of hell. That you stand with what God has for you. Don't give in to fear. Go back to verse 16. Come on, "Don't be afraid," Elisha told him. Uh-oh, we have some different highlights now. Elisha told him, "For there are more on our side than on theirs." So if you want to see things clearly from God's perspective, the truth of your situation, you cannot give in to fear. Because if you give in to fear, you're paralyzed. And all you're focused on is like on that railroad track. It's that light that's coming. And we live in Cajun land. I grew up frogging. I went frogging this past year. I mean, I really like frogging. And it never ceases to amaze me that if you want that frog to stay and get captured, all you got to do is put a spotlight in its eyes. "I can't move, there's a light." And let me just say that many times the darkness of the enemy is a dark light in our life. What was that? We sang that, "When the darkness holds, it seems like it holds on to me." Y'all remember singing that? God, you're holding on. But we can't let the darkness hold on to us, and we can't give in to fear. But let me just say, we got to know this, and here's the second thing that you got to know. If you're going to see clearly for 2020, you're going to have 2020 vision, what God has for you, you've got to know who is on your side. Who is on your side? Listen to me carefully. I don't care where you were. God is on your side. He may not be pleased with what you are doing. If you're operating in sin, if you're far from God, if you're doing stuff you know you shouldn't do, listen to me. God is not pleased with you. But he's on your side, but the side of you that he knows. He says, "I know the plans I have for you. Not calamity and destruction, but to give you a future and a hope." He's on that side, the side that you need to be on. You need to know who's on your side. God's on your side. But you got to choose to be on his. Does this make sense? If I want clarity for this year, if I want to see what God has for me, I can't give in to fear. It's easy to give in to fear. You start watching the checking account. That account just gets lower and lower and lower, and the bills start coming in. That's easy to get afraid, isn't it? You got to know who's on your side. Don't give in to that. Be faithful. Work hard. Be a good steward. Trust God through all of it. Be a giver. Be a giver. Don't give in to fear, but you got to know who's on your side. Okay, I identify with the servant. Oh my gosh, that is a big army. We didn't even have an army. All we got is some dinky walls. This isn't even a big town. And he's out for you and I'm with you. Oh man, I just made myself a target of opportunity. Verse 16, go back to it. Don't be afraid, for there are more on our side than on theirs. Let me just tell you right now, in that moment, I have a feeling that his servant thought for a second, this man lost his mind. It's me and him. It's me and it's him. And that's it. It's me and him. And they got a bunch of people that have like goats and sheep. And like, this is not a militarily enforced, you know, a supported town. This is just a dinky little town in the middle of the really nowhere. And there's an army around us. And he says, don't worry. There's more on our side than theirs. Are you smoking crack? Because I'm looking around. Oh, I see it's that big army. Where everybody at? If there's more with us, you know, I imagine about that time there's some old lady walking a goat behind him. You know, my imagination, like, yeah, well, thanks. That's really going to help. I'm just going to be myself and relax. My wife says I'm crazy and ridiculous, but I am, but it's fun. Don't be afraid, for there are more on our side than on theirs. I got to know God's on my side, but I have to choose to be on his. In 2020, you will have the opportunity to be afraid. You have to choose to not be afraid. The opposite of fear is faith. All fear is faith in the bad things. That's all fear is. I want you to think about, you're believing the bad stuff gonna happen. That is fear. Put your faith in what God says. Listen, we're not just doing a fast. And you can find it on our app, the McShane Reading Bible Reading Plan. I read through the Bible every year. I encourage you, get in God's word every single day. Every single day. Because he'll speak to you. And that's how you build faith. Romans 10:17. Some of you probably need to write this down. By the way, in the app, you can also take notes. Romans 10:17 says this. So faith comes by hearing. Hearing the word of God. Listen to me carefully. That is not a pastor preaching, though that can be faith building. It's when God speaks to us because we read his word, and maybe we read it for 37 days and we get nothing out of it, but on the 38th day, we read it and it becomes alive to us and God speaks to us and something happens inside of us where we truly begin to believe what this word says, and it gives us faith that's greater than the fear that we've encountered. This is what God's called us to this year. Not to be afraid. Operate in faith. Listen to me. You need to be in the Bible because you're not going to grow spiritually unless you're reading the Bible and hearing from God. You're just not. And you need to be around people that can encourage you and help you. Hebrews 10 says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And even more as you see the day drawing near. Now, they're talking in the middle of that, like judgment and end times. And I don't know if y'all have watched the news, but like there's a day in the future. I don't know when it is, but there's some stuff going to happen. Am I right? I'm not trying to be depressive and a downer, but I need to be around people so that we can be encouraged that God is with us, that we don't have to operate in fear, that he is on our side and that there's more on our side than on theirs. Oh, you're saying that, but it's just them two crazy people. And now you just that one crazy person up there saying that stuff. Verse 17, please. Then Elisha prayed, Oh Lord, open his eyes and let him see. I want us to see. And the Lord opened the young man's eyes. And when he looked up, I'm going to read that again. Y'all need to read it with me. You ready? When he looked up, come on, y'all can read better than that. When he looked up, he saw that the hills around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire. God was there. That's good stuff. God was there. Because a man of God prayed, God, open his eyes. Let him see. And the Lord opened that young man's eyes. You can have your eyes open, but if you choose to look down, all you're going to see is your own feet and your own path. But God's called you to look up so that you can see that he is with you. And though there's an enemy between you and the horses and the chariots, because they're up in the hills and they're right around there, you know that God's with you. And if he's over there and that he just opened your eyes, he's going to get you through that junk. So here's the third thing. Let me make sure I'm on task with my thing. I think it is. Yeah, number three. You want clarity? Number one, don't give in to fear. Number two, know who's on your side. Number three, look up. Look up. Take 2020 and make the commitment to look up. Don't make it a New Year's resolution. I resolve this year. That's not bad, but make the commitment. Jesus calls us his bride. So let's spend time with him this year. Let's fulfill our vows. If you've surrendered your life to Christ, fulfill your vows. What are the vows? Love and cherish. Protect. I mean, y'all know them, right? I don't remember. I've only done like 1,000 weddings. I can't remember offhand. I'm sorry. I read them every time. And now we're going to read through the rest of it because this is all like what I wanted to really get to. Y'all ready? Okay, where am I? When he looked up, he saw the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire. Look at verse 18. As the Aramean army advanced toward him, Elisha prayed, "Oh Lord, please make them blind." So the Lord, who? The enemy. So the Lord struck them with blindness as Elisha had asked. They can't see. So he prayed, "Lord, open this young man's eyes." God opens his eyes so he can see, and he sees the truth that there's more with him than against him. And then he prays, "Blind the enemy," and the enemy's blinded. Verse 19, I'm still iffy on this verse. I'm trying to figure it out. Y'all ready? Because I find it comical, and I enjoy it. But I also have to realize Elisha was a man of God. Then Elisha went out and told them, "You've come the wrong way." He's talking to the enemy who is now all blind and probably freaking out because in a moment the whole army is blind. And he says, hey, everybody, you guys are at the wrong place. You come the wrong way. This isn't the right city. What y'all thinking? Follow me. I'll take you to the man who you're looking for. Who are they looking for? They're looking for him. He's right in front of them. So who's he? How can it? I'm taking you who you're looking for. And they're thinking, we're looking for Elisha. And he led them to the city of Samaria. This is where the king of Israel lived. And I think he was tongue in cheek and having an awful lot of fun with them. I read the Bible from the perspective of people are people. And like if I'm Elisha and the Lord blind and they all go blind, what y'all doing? Y'all's here to kill me. You're not going to kill me. You're in the wrong place. You're not even at the place of the person you're looking for. Let me tell you who you're really looking for. And he takes them to Samaria and he presents them to the king. Because listen to me, though it was probably tongue in cheek and funny, everybody's looking for the king. Who's your king? Takes them to Samaria, presents them to the king. Verse 20, as they entered Samaria, Elisha prayed, "O Lord, open their eyes and let them see." So the Lord opened their eyes, and they discovered that they were in the middle of Samaria, the royal city where the army of Israel was stationed, where the king was looking down on them, and they were surrounded. I love the next verse. When the king of Israel saw them, he shouted to Elisha, "My father, should I kill them? Should I kill them?" He asks it twice. Why? Because he's excited. Oh man, these people have been like raiding us and whooping our behinds. And now look at this great miracle. This whole army is brought here. They're blind when they get in, and their eyes are open. And who are they looking at? They're looking at me. They're looking at me and looking at the army all around them. We gonna kill them. And he asks Elisha, "My father, should I kill them? Should I kill them?" What's he asking? Y'all ever had kids? If you got kids, you know. If you've been around kids, you know. If they're asking twice and they're asking it back to back, it's because that's what they want. Verse 22 is a key verse. 22. Next one. Oh, did I combine them? Hold on. I'm just going to read from my Bible. Oh, yeah, I did. I put it wrong. "Of course not," Elisha replied. "Do we kill prisoners of war?" Do we kill prisoners of war? It's a good question. These blinded men, these enemy soldiers, are led, and like probably hands to backs following Elisha. It's quite a walk to the capital city. They get there. The king is pretty excited that the enemy army, all of the enemy army, is now surrounded right at his doorstep, delivered by God. And Elisha prays, which is interesting to me that he even prays this. God, open their eyes. And their eyes are open and they see the situation that they're in. And the king gets really excited and says to these now vulnerable, caught men, "Should I kill him? Should I kill him?" God, and I really believe, and this is prophetic for some people here, 2020 will be the year that those that have hounded you, those that have hunted you, those that have hurt you, you'll have the opportunity to see them with their eyes open in a vulnerable position. And you're going to have the opportunity to hurt them if you want. And you might want to. You better ask this question. Do we kill prisoners of war? You know what the answer for most Christians is? Yes! We do. We eat our own. We eat the enemy of the world and spit out the bones. It's sick. I want you to understand. He says, "Do we kill? Can I kill him? Can I?" Of course not. Do we kill prisoners of war? Sadly, we do. Maybe not in the real world, but in our hearts, how do we deal with the enemy of the world around us? Do we look at them as they're the enemy and we hate them and we want to destroy them? Let me just tell you, when you get the picture that God has, when your eyes are open and you see that you don't have to operate in fear, that he is with you, that all you got to do is look up. And when you look up, you are able to see with clarity the reality that it's not people that's the enemy. No, we don't kill prisoners of war. Instead, he says, give them food and drink. Send them home again to their master. Look at verse 23. That was 22. So the king made a great feast for them. And he sent them home to their master. And after that, they stayed away from the land of Israel. What's God called us to? Stand in faith. Know that he's with us. That you can look around and you don't even have to just see in the spiritual realm. You can look around at your brothers and sisters because you've gotten in a small group. Because you're seeking God. You're fasting. You're praying. You're reading the Bible. Listen, for the month of January, we're taking Wednesday nights and we're going to worship and pray and connect together. It's going to be very not service oriented, but connective. And if that's cool, like if that's great, we're going to do it all year. Because God's called us to connect. God's called us to connect. Why? I love it, but here's why. Here's why. So that we can go out and see the enemy's eyes opened. It's people's eyes were opened, the enemy ain't. And so this is my one point of the whole message, then I'm done. People are never the enemy. People are never the enemy. It's who we're called to. God's called us to connect to him. God's called us to connect to each other. And God's called us to connect to the world around us. They may come at you, but the men and women of God in this house are going to be able to see them for who they really are. Vulnerable people that we should be feeding. Verse 23, put it back up there. So the king who wanted to kill him instead made a great feast for him. Let's do that. Let's do that. Let's bow our heads. We're going to pray. This isn't a huge response message. This is a vision message. Can you see it is my question. Can you see what God has for you? One of my life verses, Psalm 68:6, God makes a home for the lonely. He leads out the prisoners into prosperity. Only the rebellious dwell in a parched land. Man, when I close my eyes and I see our Sunday mornings, by the way, they're our biggest outreach that we have. But I see our Sunday mornings filled with people who don't come in as strangers. Even if you don't know somebody's name, you recognize that it's family. I see people sitting together, inviting people to sit next to them, getting outside of themselves. It's uncomfortable, I know, but you can do it. If I can get on social media, you can do it. You invite somebody. You don't come to a house of strangers. You come to a home that's full of family. That we sing together, we clap together. That may be uncomfortable for you. That we lift our hands together. We can do that at a football game. Let me tell you, we can do it here. And God uses us to rebuild the broken, to restore that which has fallen down, to raise up people who've fallen flat on their face. And that this house is a house of life because we've sought God and connected to him, and we've sought out each other and connected to each other. God's called you to him, and he's called you to people this year, and he's called us. If you're listening to my voice, he's called us together. Maybe you're hearing this message is for you and say, Pastor, this is for me, and I know it. Nobody's looking. Just raise your hand. I'm going to pray for you quickly right where you are. Just say, that's me. Come on. Come on. That's awesome. Father, I pray for those that are, I just pray for all of us that you connect us to you and to each other. You can put them down. Maybe you're here and you know that you need to connect to God and you felt very disconnected. Today, he's knocking at the door of your heart and he's reaching out to you. If you're here and that's you, raise your hand. Say, Pastor, that's me. Come on. Keep them up. Father, I pray for those with their hands raised. They just pray this prayer to you. That Jesus, I surrender to you. I choose you. I receive your forgiveness. My life's yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, can we celebrate that? I went a little long. I'm sorry, but I hope it was okay. Why don't y'all stand to your feet? This Wednesday night's going to be awesome. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to connect together, and we're going to connect in worship. We're going to pray. By the way, we'll have our sanctuary open on Saturdays at 9 a.m. We're going to do a time of prayer together then as well for the next 21 days, those three Saturdays. I encourage you, get plugged in. It's a lot of fun. If you need prayer, you can see the crosses on the side walls. Our ministry team members are there. If God's done something in you, go pray with them. If you want to connect, fill out the connection card. Put it in the boxes by the doors on the way out. Drop them at the connection center in the foyer, in the middle of the foyer, or bring them to our ministry team members. Y'all have fun today? Yes. All right. Love y'all. I'm 10 minutes late, but it's all right. I hope it was all right. Father, thank you for your grace and your goodness. I just pray that we can live connected to you and to each other. May we make an impact in the world around us because of the freedom and the fire that you put inside of us for you. In Jesus' name, everybody said, Amen. You guys are dismissed. Love you guys. Have a great Sunday.